Well, I see that Ryan and Hannah are not here. Today could be the day. Let's just pray that if that's the case, that things will go well for them today. Also, Ashley's not feeling well. I think the other, Hannah, she's home too? Okay. So we got several that we didn't send out in the text to remember, but we're glad for everybody here. And for the next month or so, the men will be doing the Lord's Supper lesson. And there's a sign-up sheet back there. I don't know if it's filled up or not for next month, but if you want to do that and there's a time, then please do that. I'd like to begin our reading today in Luke chapter 22, and it's the preparation for the Passover. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 7. Then when the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed, so Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you enter the city, a man carrying a jug of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, that I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished. Prepare it there." When they went and found it just as he had told them, they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." This Passover was on the 14th day of the first month in the Jewish calendar. We start with January. They started with Aviv. And it corresponds to our April, last of April, first of March. And the leaven was taken out of the houses. There was no leaven there, so that's why they ate the unleavened bread. That's what they did when they came out of Israel, or when they came out of Egypt. If you remember, and most of you know the story of the Passover, but it's found in several places, Exodus chapter 12, Exodus 13, Deuteronomy 16, Leviticus 23. But anyway, this was something that was observed yearly from then on. This was something, and to my knowledge, Jews still observe it if they choose to. And they have their way of taking it. The Bible says that there was a lamb that was to be taken. It was a male lamb, 1 year old, without spot. And depending on the number of people in your household, depending on the size of the lamb, or several families went together. And this lamb would be slaughtered, and they would eat the roasted lamb with the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs. Some people have speculated that the herb might be chicory. I don't know if any of you use herbs. Or horseradish. But some type of herb that symbolized something. The lamb, no bone was broken in the lamb. And that corresponds to the fact that there was no bone broken in Jesus' body when he died. The unleavened bread, some have thought this represents the kind of life God wants us to live, pure life, a life that God requires of his people. And the bitter herbs might represent the bondage that they had been in for so long in Egypt, and the bondage of sin as comes to mind. Bitter. Well, you're supposed to tell your children about this. That's part of the tradition that Moses talks about. Tell your children what happened on the night that the Lord passed over the houses where there was blood on the lintel on the doorpost. He passed over it. And yet those who did not have the blood on their doors, the firstborn was taken or killed. And they ate it in haste because Pharaoh was going to say, go, go. Tell your children about this. Now, it's interesting to point out that Passover feast, no uncircumcised person should eat it, could not eat it, not allowed to eat it. Now, this is the physical circumcision, but as we're thinking about the Lord's Supper, could an uncircumcised in heart person partake of the Lord's Supper in good conscience? See, the circumcision of Christ is not one made with hands, but it's a circumcision of the heart. It's obedience to God's will. And our prayer is, as we're going to notice here, that this blood of Jesus Christ will spare us when God sees the blood. We sing that song occasionally about that. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. We know that Jesus is the Lamb of God. John 1, verse 29. Psalm 22 is oftentimes read about the sufferings, as well as Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. Paul pretty much nails it down in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 when he says, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. And that should, for people who are believers in God, satisfy our understanding of the Passover, the literal Passover that the Jews observed, and our Passover with Jesus Christ. You know, he said, I wanted to eat this with you. He looked forward to it. He knew this would be the last time. He said, I want to eat this before I suffer. If you knew that you were going to suffer something, is there anything you would want to do? Anything on this earth that you think might be beneficial to you or helpful or just make you feel good or happy before the suffering came? Well, this is what Jesus said. I have longed to eat this with you. I've looked forward to it. Now, the Passover was a yearly feast. Same time every year. Every year. And that was one of the three feasts that required, if you could possibly make it, your attendance in Jerusalem. Try to be there. Make the journey. It's worth it. God would be pleased if you did that. Told that the Jews would sing a hymn or hymns of praise during this time when they were observing the Passover. And one of them is in Psalm 118. And I'm not going to read the psalm to you, but I want to notice something in that psalm that Jesus mentions, Jesus mentions in Luke chapter 20. The psalm it's not a long psalm, but there's a part of it that is quoted by Jesus in Luke chapter 20, where he says, what then is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Now, part of that Psalm 118 that the Jews would sing during the Passover made reference to the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And here that's what Jesus says, I am. But you have rejected me. All the preparation that God made for his people, all the warnings from the prophets and the Psalms, that the Messiah was coming, that the Christ was coming. Jesus said, I am he. I have fulfilled this. And yet many of you will reject me. What were they looking for? What are they looking for today? What are people who are not believers that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? What are they looking for? What do they expect God to do for them? I guess as an outsider, as a Gentile, we kind of look at some of the Jewish teachings and practices and think, how did they miss it? How did they miss it? Especially those who were alive at the time of Jesus was on the earth and heard his teachings and saw his signs and miracles and his wisdom and all of those things, yet they were not satisfied with that. And they were deceived. You see, the devil has a way about him, doesn't he? And I think we can all profit, and I know I could profit from learning more about his ways. Paul said to the Corinthians, we're not ignorant of his devices. They are worldly devices. The wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable. That's what we have in God's word, in the inspired word. But the wisdom of the world is sensual. It's devilish. It's demonic. It blinds us. You know, a lot of things happened the night Jesus partook of the Passover. You know, that was the night that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And Peter, of course, being the Peter we learn about, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. You're not going to do it. And then after Jesus telling him, you know, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Lord, wash every part of my body, he would say. Every bit of it. He said, only your feet need washing. And this is because of the day that they lived in. The roads were dusty. They weren't blacktopped or they weren't concrete. And they were dusty. And so that was a custom of hospitality, that when you entered someone's house, you would wash their feet, or at least provide a means by which their feet could be washed. And Jesus said, you know, if you're going to be in my kingdom, you're going to have to do these lowly, humbly things that only a servant would do. You've got to have the mind of a servant, he said. So he taught that night. And that was the same night that he said of his betrayal. One of you will betray me. What would that entail? What would that be involved with? Well, it involved preparation. Just as they were preparing for the Lord's Supper, Peter and John, another disciple, another apostle, Judas, was preparing for the deliverance of Jesus to the authorities. So a lot of preparation goes on. I like sometimes Doug, when he prays, he talks about the idea of looking forward to this time. And that's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to prepare. Because Paul will go in more detail, and someone else may speak on that, about how you have to partake in a worthy manner. And Peter's denial is foretold. Just as Peter had said, Lord, don't wash my feet. Now he says, Lord, I'm not going to let this happen to you. You're not going to suffer betrayal. You're not going to suffer the death that has been, well, foreshadowed from the beginning of time. You're not going to do it. Peter is kind of like some of us. We like to change events that are determined, predetermined. This was predetermined. You can't do it, Peter. You're going to deny me three times. You who said you will not leave me or forsake me, you will die with me, you will deny me three times, and you will go away. But you see, we haven't even got to the Lord's Supper yet. This is all preparation. And here, and I'll just read the shortest of the versions. They're very short. Luke, Matthew, and Mark, all three are very short. John does not record this. And of course, Paul goes into detail in the Corinthian letter. But there in Luke chapter 22, what we're looking at, verses 19 and 20. And likewise, verse 19. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after he had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the New Testament in my blood. Short and simple. They'd already had the meal. The Passover meal has been concluded, so let's get up and go home. No. He said, wait, there's something else. This will be another cup. And the bread that they'd already eaten and the cup that they'd already drunk from is going to take on a significance that they probably could never have imagined or thought about. Now you take this unleavened bread. You take this bread. And what you do is, I wonder what he said when he gave thanks. It doesn't tell us what he said when he gave thanks. He said he just took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to them. I wonder what he said in the prayer. But he did say this, this is my body. It's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. And whether they understood that or not, I don't know. And then he took the cup. This cup of whether it was fermented or unfermented, that's debated. It's the fruit of the vine. And he took it and he poured it out for them. It's poured out for you, he said. It's the new covenant in my blood. So his body and blood are brought into the equation. And it's the equation that we have today. Body and blood. Corinthians had trouble with this, obviously. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But I just see how the Passover, the Old Testament Passover about the lamb. It had to be a lamb without a defect, without a blemish, had to be roasted. Couldn't boil it, couldn't eat it raw. You had to roast it. And all the remains, anything left, had to be burned up that you didn't consume. But no bone was broken. And that's why Jesus, there is no bone broken in his body. Had to fulfill scripture, had to fulfill that. We have some wonderful songs that we sing that help us and remind us of this. And we have these words, Jesus, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let's pray, please, as we give thanks for the bread. Our Heavenly Father, as we are contemplating and considering the event that took place so long ago, we, like some of the early apostles, the only apostles and the early disciples, must have wondered about this, must have thought about this. How is this going to be fulfilled in the kingdom? What will happen to you after you give your body and your blood? And this new covenant, how is it going to be different from the old covenant? We must ask these questions. But Father, we're thankful that in your great plan of redemption, that you and your Son were in harmony, that he would come to earth and he would do your will and his will, even though it would require more than we can imagine. But Jesus gained a victory, and we think about his death at this time, but we know that it's not the end of the story. We pray, Father, as we partake of this unleavened bread, we might remember that he bore our sins in his body. And he wants us to live righteously. We pray you'd help us do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I know that you've been approached so many times for so many years on this very subject. We pray, Father, it might always be very meaningful to us to remember the blood that was shed, that you will pass over our sins, you will forgive our sins because of Jesus' sacrifice. As we take of this cup, Father, we We ask, Father, that the examinations that we make of ourselves are honest, that we look into the mirror of the perfect law of liberty, make corrections where we need to, but always, Father, thankful for your grace and thankful for the mercy that you demonstrated by having Jesus take our place and shed his blood that we might be spared the torment and the agony of separation from you. We pray for everyone here today that partakes, that we might be circumcised in heart. We might always be willing and ready to receive your teachings and practice your will. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.